Good afternoon. Just getting ready for the Rams. They present, I say it every week, a lot of challenges, but this one's definitely no different. All you have to do is turn on the tape and you see Tavon Austin. And he can wreck a game. He's dynamic, explosive. So we have our work cut out for us in that area. Then their specialists are really good. Zuerlein, the kicker, I mean, he goes from a long range. I think he's had three misses. They've all been over 50 yards. He missed a 63-yarder in Green Bay. Had plenty of leg, just barely missed it left. And then the punter, Hecker, he's like having a quarterback out there. I think he's 6 of 8 on his throws and really throws the ball really well, besides also really punting well. So good core, but we'll be up to the challenge and looking forward to it. With that, I'll answer any questions.
How does it change your preparation when you've seen a punter throw the ball at them?
Well, I mean, they've run a lot of fakes since Coach Fisher's been there and Coach Fossil have been in St. Louis. I mean, they've run a lot of fakes, and they kind of got them archived. And the thing about it, what makes it tough is they're all different, and they've been very creative with it. So we have to be good with our eyes. We have to play good, disciplined football, but at the same time, we still want to be aggressive on our end. Because we feel like we can make plays in the punt return game also. So it's a big challenge.
How do you compare style-wise Austin and Travis Benjamin?
Both guys dynamic. I think Tavon is second in the league. I think right now Travis is fourth in the league. Both explosive speed, can make you miss. They both catch the ball well. Very comparable. Even obviously both wear number 11, so it goes right down to the jersey number.
Where were Travis Coons have needed to get to in overtime?
We were thinking around the 30-yard line there and stretch it back to the 35, make it a 53-yarder. Felt real comfortable. We got the opportunity to go the way that we wanted to go. It never came up, but felt good about it.
I started writing a note based on a question that you last week were obviously one of the penalties. And the part of the note is the first punt of the day was a penalty. That, comment on that, and whether overall the game was cleaner.
Yeah, it seemed to be cleaner, but there's no question that we talked about last week the self-inflicted penalties, and we actually had two of them. We were doing something there because of Denver presented a problem for us matchup-wise, and so we were trying to help in that area. And, it was unfortunate because it ended up costing us about 13 yards in field position, which obviously we can't have, because I think the first punt, I think, ended up at about 13, then he punted the next one at the 26. So we got to still work on cleaning it up, and as soon as we can clean those penalties up, I'll feel better about it.
Not just the Browns, but all around the league, it seems like you can't have two or three kickoffs or punts in a row without a flag thrown. Are these calls legitimate, or are they giving out bonuses to refs for throwing flags on kicks?
No, they're legitimate. It's just something that you got to be good with your technique. And, you could probably say it on any football play, offense, defense, or kicking. I mean, there's usually something that's taking place. But I think the officials do a good job. We just got to make sure that we play within the rules and execute our technique. If we do that, it gives us a chance to be clean. I think so. Sometimes it's tough to say. I mean, the officials are so good. They all have their assignments of where their eyes are supposed to be. I mean, they got it down to a science, and that's why we preach extra hard about you got to be clean in your technique.
On the early decision to not kick the 51-yard field goal on the first series, we see Coons making kicks from 55, the same end of the field. Now, obviously, it's more complicated than that, but it's just a little bit of a puzzler why it turned down a chance to score points on a team that really gives up those quarter points.
Well, I think that there's a lot of other factors. As you stated, you know, their field goal rush was probably, it's one of the best rushes we've seen. They had two blocks, they had forced a couple misses. It's early on in the game, and at that point in time, it was very, I thought the wind was blowing pretty good. They also elected, they could have kicked a field goal early on in the game and also elected not to do it themselves. Just the wind patterns down the stadium, sometimes it gets a little gusty, and at that point in the game, probably not really willing to give up that field position yet.
Kickoffs planned, or did he just hit a couple?
We're still working on a lot of things there. I don't want to say one way or the other what they were, but he's doing a variety of things. I mean, you know, the thing about squib kicks to the naked eye, sometimes you say, well, it doesn't look very pretty, but on the very first one, I think by the time the returner picked it up, the real hang time is 4:01. Which allows us to get down the field and tackle it inside the 20. So there's a lot of ways to obviously kick the ball. And hang time, whether it's in the air or it's rolling on the ground, it doesn't matter to us, just as long as it gives us enough time to get down there and field it.
What's the risk on that? I was going to ask the same question about, you know, inadvertently having the ball bounce out of bounds. I mean, you got to...
No question, yeah. I mean, you risk that. You risk it taking a bad hop and getting in their hands fast and they run it back, you know, essentially to the 35-yard line, almost 40. I mean, you are playing with it a little bit, but at the same time, you can keep teams off balance of whether it's going to be a deep kick, are we playing a squib, what are their rules going to be on that, and try to get our speed down the field to cover the players.
Do you find a team like a Fisher's team, I mean, go back to the Miracle Music City, his trick plays on kickoff, on special teams, are they more prone to getting surprised, or are they on guard because they practice it so much?
I think, well, when you turn on the tape, they're very well coached. So I would say that they're dialed in on things, and they have. They take calculated risks, and they've been very successful with it. So that's why we're going to have to be good with our eyes. We got to have good eye discipline and play our rules and handle our job. If we can do that, that'll give us a chance to hopefully not let them get one on us.
Victimized by kicks?
Well, I think I don't know about that. I mean, we always look for stuff, but I think they're well coached.
Question about the touchbacks and Gilbert. What are your roles, generally speaking, for him bringing one out? And did he come close to breaking the one last week?
Boy, he squeaked it out pretty good. He's doing a nice job for us. The rules, to be quite honest with you, with regards to bringing him out, differ each and every week. So that sometimes that's by game plan, how the game flow is going, who the kicker is, what our matchups are up front, injuries, those type of things. So that's we vary that each and every week. We still, like I say, we want to be aggressive in that area, but at the same time play with good judgment.
You know, are you like fans? You see the ball crease there, and you say to yourself, "Hey, he might go."
Oh, I do think that when the ball's in his hands, he's a threat. I really do, and he's getting better and better, and I see him getting better and better out in practice. So I'm encouraged by which way his arrow's pointing. I think we'll just have to see him pregame. To be quite honest with you, I still follow the approach a little bit. I know what he puts out on tape, what he does each and every day in practice, but at the same time, and I've said it before. I mean, I was a water boy for my dad for a long time when he was head high school football coach. And I'd go watch the players warm up. And if they weren't on, sometimes you have to say, yeah, maybe it's not his day, you know, or maybe it is his day, and then we can stretch him a little bit. So pregame tells me a lot of things about which way we can go and how he's hitting the ball. And you can kind of see the look in his eye. All those things are factors of how far we can take him back in this dome. We're planning on it. We're still planning on it because we're going to have to get 11 of those guys out there. But, someone will step up, and I feel confident about the guys that will replace those players.
Yesterday, Mike said that, you know, Bibbs really has to prove it to you that he can be part of your team to get on the field. How's he coming along in that aspect?
He's progressing. He really is. Young player that I'd also say that his arrow's up. works hard in practice. I mean, even if he's on the look squad, we're saying that you're still executing our techniques and trying to get better there. But he's a player that is working hard at it, and the tape will tell us whether or not to play him or not.
Is that one of those where it's if there's one guy who's just a beat off, that could be a touchdown, and you have to be really worried about that?
I'm sorry? Well, number one, we got to make sure that they're coached up. But yes, I mean, you're always concerned about that. And like I say, I think that practice tells you exactly how to play them and where to play them and those type of things. But yes, anytime you play a new player, if they are off, I mean, there's the crease, and then obviously there's your problem. So hopefully that won't happen, and we'll play good on Sunday.